my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the best little Horde House in Azeroth, or Horde House for short. It's that podcast about all things World of Warcraft, but never too seriously. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'll be joining you over the next, 30, 60, 90 minutes or so with my co-host. Say hello to the one, the only, Extifer.
Hola.
How are you doing, Extifer?
I'm doing great. You?
I am. I'm doing okay. It's been a weird week. It's been a week of ups and downs, I think.
A week of ups and downs?
Well, you know, I was at Disneyland.
Right.
Clearly, that's an up. And actually, something I didn't really get into on the show, but, you know, I met a lot of friends at Disneyland. But one big group of friends I was with at Disneyland was a lot of the people that I play WoW with in my social guild.
Oh, cool.
So it was kind of like an IRL raid of Space Mountain. And that was a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
But then I came home and, you know, it started raining, which is always kind of when the seasons change. I don't know. Some people love the rain. It's not that they hate it, but it's just the rain. It's raining.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve Jobs died yesterday, as I'm sure everybody's heard by now, which I think is really sad. You know, obviously, without Steve Jobs, there would not be an iPod. Without an iPod, there would not be iTunes. Without iTunes, there would not be podcasting as large as it is now, or Pixar movies, you know, which are amazing. So this is sad. It's always sad when somebody like that who has such a important influence in culture dies. So, you know.
Well, he'll come back.
You think he'll come back?
Oh, we're not talking about Jesus, right?
No, we are not talking about Jesus.
About
I'm sorry.
Steve Jobs.
Oh, Jesus.
Got it.
All right.
Steve Jobs, Jesus, they both kind of, you
they're,
know.
They're the same to you?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know Steve Jobs. I mean, obviously he definitely had a huge influence on a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of other people that he worked with that also were very influential. So
absolutely.
I think that he definitely deserves a credit and everything for a lot of things. Hopefully not the iPhone 4S, but whatever, you know.
Stop. All right. I'm going to introduce the guest tonight before the hate mail starts pouring in. Say
what?
Hello, everybody.
Nice. Come on. I haven't said a bad thing about the guy.
All right. So. Say hello, everybody, tonight. Welcome our special guest. Say hello to Jasmine, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Jasmine. Hey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I am doing well. You know, it's been a week of ups and downs, as I was saying. So, Jasmine, you're kind of one of my Disneyland buddies.
Yes, I am.
And you're someone that I've been to the park with, and we have a lot of fun. You get to live down there, and you're kind of in the midst of it all. So, how is life in SoCal?
Life in SoCal's good. It is cold.
Yeah.
Because it rained yesterday. So
yeah. Same.
We're all like, I need a jacket now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, but it's nice that the weather's changing, but I don't like being cold.
Yeah. Luckily, I have my Tron jacket that I got at Disneyland. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Is somebody unwrapping something? Background. I've been here.
Jasmine may have a Chipotle burrito she's about to dig into, because that's kind of what it sounds like, is the unwrapping of a big burrito at Chipotle.
Not a burrito.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, Jasmine, let's talk Warcraft a little bit, because, you know, obviously that's what the show's about. So at some point we need to talk about it. You haven't been on the show yet. I'm really glad you're able to come on the show. It's good to have some new people. And you are quite the bit of a WoW player, correct?
Yes.
How long have you been playing World of Warcraft?
Going on 2 years now, I believe.
Yeah. How'd you get started? What got you hooked on the crack of WoW?
Actually, what got me hooked on the crack of WoW is our mutual friend, Peter, mm-hmm. actually got me to start playing. And that was right when Wrath of the Lich King was going to come out. I actually started playing after the Scourge invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So I got through there, and then I took a break before Cataclysm came out. And then I got back on because I wanted to do the prelude up to, because since I didn't get a chance to do the Scourge invasion, I wanted to do all this stuff before Cataclysm actually dropped.
I'm kind of sorry for you, because like the Cataclysm launch event was the weakest compared to the others, but
right. Yeah, but I just wanted to do that, and then I took another break because school started back up, and then when I got back into it, I actually switched guilds to an awesome guild I'm in now, which is Esoteric. They're really awesome, and
shout out.
yeah, started to write again, which was really nice because I like the endgame content because I'm kind of a lore nerd, so I like doing things like that.
Awesome. So much to talk about. Okay, where to begin? So you raid and stuff. So what's your main? Who's the main that you play?
My main is a Death Knight. Her name is Tahiri.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I play. That's who I play most of the time. And then I created an undead hunter because I wanted to see how that was going to work. Because I actually started playing hunters before, and then I got my first hunter up to like 60. I needed to get her past 55 so I could get my Death Knight. And then I took my Death Knight from 55 to 80. And then that's been my main. That's who I play most of the time. That's who I raid with.
Are you Blood Frost
hunters, by the way?
Frost. I am a Frost Death Knight.
We're gonna get into the lore thing in a minute because it's very important here in a minute. So you're Frost. So you like to damage things a lot.
Yes.
Awesome. Do you do PvP at all? Or are you like primarily PvE?
Primarily PvE. Getting into PvP. Like I've started to work on a gear set. I do Tol'Barad every now and again, but it's never really awesome because apparently the Alliance on our server like to hold that hostage. So.
What can we say? The Alliance, they can be real bastards. Hi. so what made you stay with WoW? Like, I know you mentioned you really enjoy raiding, but what was really kind of that hook, line, and sinker that got you into the game 2 years ago that made you say, yeah, I wanna get involved in this. I wanna get sucked into the lore. I wanna be a part of this.
It was the lore. It was the story behind of why all of this stuff was going on, especially with the stuff that they were doing with Arthas and that whole thing, and just the backstory of like just certain NPCs, especially like with Sylvanas and the Undercity and how all of that stuff went down. Like that's what keeps me coming back to the game, is like, how are they developing these characters that you interact with every now and again and things like that.
So you are what one might call a lore nerd.
Yes.
Ah, see, that's a big part of the reason I wanted to get you on the show here at some point, was because you're a good counterbalance to me, who is admitted, I always kind of skip through quest text, and I'm very much there just for the social element. It's a chat room with swords for me. And Extifer, you're kind of like sort of into lore, but you don't really do a lot of the external stuff, right?
I like the lore and everything. I like to see what happens. I'm not like, I don't read the books or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd rather them not like make 100 billion cutscenes about everything.
There's nothing wrong with Oldham. Thank you very much. All right.
So
speaking of the books, we got an email a few shows ago that was asking us about the books and our opinion on the books. And because Exfer doesn't really read the books and I don't really read the books, we were kind of looking at each other with blank expressions going, not really sure what to advise this person. But Jasmine, you sent me a tweet that was like, ooh, me. I read the books. I'll come on and help explain. At least that's kind of how I read it. So you have read. Have you read all the books, Jasmine?
Not all of them. Just mainly the stuff by Christine Golden, because mm-hmm. she's a really great writer.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote Arthas, and I've read that. She wrote The Shattering, which explained the events leading up to Cataclysm, and then the newest one with The Thrall, Twilight of the Aspects, which is the newest one that's out right now.
And which one is your favorite out of the books? Because you know I got to ask that.
My favorite one is the one about Thrall and just what's going on with him and his whole situation.
What would you say that like Extifer and I are missing by not reading the books?
That's really hard to say. Like, just it's a lot of the backstory. Like, because when they ask the developers the questions, like they mention like some things, but it's like little unless you like have either like read the books or like pay attention to like how the lore works. So it's a lot of just backstory, and it's like it's things that you sometimes catch in the game, but it's further explained like in The Shattering. Like you really find out why Vol'jin and Garrosh hate each other,
mm-hmm.
and why Vol'jin isn't in Org. He's in the Isles away from Orgrimmar, you know, and why the trolls are all the way in the back. Like behind the goblins in the corner, you know, and it's just things like that, like nobody really pays attention to, that you get in the books and you understand why it's the way that it is.
You know, I'll say that one thing I noticed was in the last patch that came out, we got this new quest line with Thrall, and, you know, you had to kind of travel around the different Cataclysm zones, kind of getting the pieces of Thrall back together, for kind of lack of a better term. But I noticed, like, one of the first things I noticed was, you know, there's this new orc female that he's very close with, and to me, she kind of, you know, from my perspective, she literally came out of nowhere. But I was told, oh, the books. You got to read the books. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was like him and Jaina. Like there was supposed to be like a connection there. And then no. He's got this orc chick that he's madly in love with. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. The Shattering starts that relationship. And then the Thrall book really explains that further.
Mm-hmm.
And then in-game is like the end of that. Just like, oh, we understand where this random orc chick came from.
Okay. I gotcha. Is there a good book that people who maybe want to get into the books should start with? I mean, should people start chronologically and go all the way back to the first books? Well, I guess not, because it sounds like you didn't. You kind of started with the stuff where you came into the game.
Right. Arthas is a really good book. That's the one that I read first, mm-hmm. because that's where we were in the game, as we were all trying to fight the Lich King and find out that whole situation. So if they wanted to start with that one, Christine Gulman's a really good writer, and then just read the other two books mm-hmm. after that, and then pick up the other ones, because that's what I'm in the process of doing. But I just picked up where we are currently in the game,
right?
And then I'm gonna go back and read,
kind of go get the prequels later on.
Right.
Where do you think the book universe needs to go? Like, let me back that up a little bit. We are on the verge of a new expansion. So since you are kind of so into lore, what do you think is going to be the next thing that we explore in the game that the books could kind of get into a little bit and the game's going to go to? You know, obviously there's a lot of chatter about Pandaria. Do you think that is legit, like the direction we're going, or do you think there's something else that needs to be explored?
I think Pandaria might be legit. Like, some authors might pick up and run with that, but we won't really know until, like, a new expansion drops or something, and the game, like, changes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for where the game is going, if people wanted to read Thrall, that's a really good one to pick up. Like, it's very going to be in the time with when 4.3 drops and the changes that are coming with that book really coincides with what's going on right now.
Mm.
So if people want to read that one, that'd be a good one to start with as well. So it's just that the books try and stay relevant with what's going on. So in terms of in the future, that's going to happen when things actually begin to come out.
Okay. Let me ask this question, because you are kind of into lore, and you mentioned your guild, Esoteric. Is that a guild that's on an RP server?
No, we are on a regular PvE server.
So I have to ask this question. Since you are so into lore, why don't you explore the RP part of the game? Is that just not really something that interests you? You don't want to make the story, you just want to read it?
Yeah, just want to read it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Extrafer, you have anything you want to ask Jasmine?
Do you like orange juice or milk in the morning? And which one would Thrall choose?
I like orange juice, and I don't know.
Oh. That's kind of a letdown.
Thrall would choose the blood of King Varian Wynn, right?
Oh, to drink in the morning?
Yeah, to drink in the morning.
With his Wheaties?
That might be more Garrosh than Thrall. Because remember, Thrall likes humans. Garrosh does not.
That's right. As little as I do pay attention to lore, I have caught on to the fact that Thrall is very much more willing to work with the Alliance for a greater good than Garrosh is, who just wants, you know, kill everything, sort the bodies later, you know?
Garrosh doesn't even want to work with the own leaders of the Horde. So he doesn't like anyone, and nobody likes him either.
Do you think Garrosh's time as a leader is coming to an end? Do you think that Thrall will be restored in the next expansion?
I can only hope so. Because it's just from doing, like, quests and things, going from undead 1 to, I think I'm like 37, and going through that whole quest line again, seeing Garrosh come, and because there's a part where you have to stand by and watch Sylvanas talk to Garrosh,
mm-hmm.
and she has the Valkyr in her employment, as she calls it,
mm-hmm.
and they take the bodies of humans or dwarves or whatever and raise them as undead, as the undead cannot procreate.
I love this quest.
Yeah, and Garrosh is like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm taking care of my people. And he's like, whatever, you're crazy, and then leaves. And then when you start as a troll, one of the quests like has you go talk to Vol'jin before you go off, and he shows you this conversation that he has with Garrosh, and Garrosh just pretty much calls him a dirty troll and tells him to get out of Org. And Vol'jin says, before you, either you're going to not be a leader anymore, or I'm going to shoot you in the eye with a poison arrow before this whole thing is done.
Hmm. I haven't started a troll yet in Cataclysm. It's kind of the one race I haven't really explored yet, but I did do the undead. I had an undead hunter on Drenden, on the Horde House Guild over there. And yeah, I did that quest with Silverpine. I got to say, and I said this on a show before, but I think Silverpine, like, is one of those like really hidden treasures in Cataclysm. Like, you know, I know Cataclysm is all about the new zones and a lot of the revamped old zones. We don't usually think about Silverpine, but Silverpine from the undead perspective, I mean, I'm not even that into lore, and I was freaking impressed. Like, the cutscenes there and everything was great. And Garrosh says, bitch, which is great.
Yes.
I love it when the
game was freaking impressed, and Garrosh says, bitch.
I hate you.
Yeah.
You're a bitch.
You can go make me up a batch of cookies. Batch.
All right. Would you agree? What Jasmine? What zone in Cataclysm is like awesome for lore nerds?
Awesome for lore. I would agree. Silverpine is pretty just in general, because I did that on my Death Knight. Like, I went through there and did the low level quests. I like Hyjal a lot. Like, that was the first zone I went to on the quest to 85,
mm-hmm.
and I like that area a whole lot before all the Fireland stuff. Just that whole quest line in general, that area was really nice, and I still like it.
All right. Awesome. Well, I think the next couple weeks are going to be very exciting, especially, you know, for lore nerds and people that are just into the game alike, because obviously BlizzCon is what, next weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this weekend? Next week? It's next weekend, right?
Next weekend.
So
next weekend.
We're going to get crap tons of news, obviously, on the new expansion. It's you know, pretty much a given that they're going to have to reveal the next expansion, especially if it is true they are absolutely 100% not saying anything on Titan, which is the latest stuff that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know there's Diablo 3, of course, but I don't think they're going to name a date now because they pushed that back to first quarter. There's mm-hmm. obviously the StarCraft 2 expansion, but I think that still leaves a big hole. So I think Warcraft, you know, they can't just talk about 4.3 because 4.3 is already on the public test realm, and I don't think it'll be out by BlizzCon, but it'll be really close. I think it's got to be the next expansion.
Yeah, we're going to hear about the next expansion, definitely. And if not just that, they'll talk about the next iteration of StarCraft 2. I mean, mm-hmm. we'll get to see that too, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, if and we might be able to get, you know, maybe see what their idea is on when they're going to release Diablo 2 or Diablo 3 next year.
Right. They said first quarter, but I mean,
yeah.
You can't until first they name a date. They can push back again if they want.
First quarter is like what, January through April? I mean, that's a big chunk of time. So
right, and then they could trick us and say, "Oh, we meant first financial quarter, which April through June."
Oh, so, God. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? I will say I have been playing more of the Diablo 3 beta. I've feel like I've run out of things to do there besides roll more characters and explore more classes. And I am definitely left here like salivating, wanting more. I'm like, this demo was not enough. I need more. It's been 10 years. You know, so.
It's done its job.
It absolutely has done its job. Like, you know, I was kind of excited about Diablo 3. Like, yeah, I played a lot of Diablo 2, like, back in the day in college. And stuff. I'm really excited about Diablo 3. Now it's like, oh, my God, I needed this game so bad. So we'll see. All right. Anyhow, let's talk about Warcraft. And we always like to do a segment here on the show. How was your week in Azeroth? Talking about the things that we have been doing in the world of Warcraft this week. So, Exifer, how was your week in Azeroth?
My week in Azeroth had nothing to do with Azeroth because I don't play the game right now.
Is the 4-3 news tempting you to come back?
Actually, you know, it's kind of funny because I do have a side story about something that did happen in WoW, but didn't happen directly to me.
All right.
So basically, I met somebody new that plays WoW, and I didn't know this person plays WoW until we were talking on Facebook two or three days ago.
Wait a minute. When you say you met someone new, does this mean like a date?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Don't pry.
I like to pry. It's my job.
Loser.
Was there sexual relations involved?
No. We'll talk after the show.
Okay. All right.
But anyways, he and I were talking on Facebook, and he was saying that he's slow to reply because he's in the middle of a Kara run for the mount or whatever. And I was like, wow, I have no idea this guy played WoW. And he said that, like, matter of factly, like I would just know exactly what he's talking about. And so I'm like, wow, my sister used to run that dungeon all the time with no drop, you know, or whatever, like no dice, you know, on that.
Wait, so were you being kind of shy and sheepish and not wanting to admit, like, oh my God, you're raiding Kara? I love Kara.
No. I said I used to play that. And I mentioned that I was with my guild. I told him I don't play right now.
Were you like, I do a super fucking nerdy podcast every week about Warcraft?
Yeah, I've since explained that. But
all right.
I was just kind of like that. That's the first time I've ever like talked to somebody and I had no idea and I've been chatting with this person for weeks. So you would think, you know, something that would come up or I don't know. Cause I say I play video games all the time, you know, whatever. Anyway. So like later on, I get a text and he's like, you are a good luck charm because that mount dropped for me. So
lucky
he got
bastard. I hate him. I don't even know this guy and I hate him.
I know. And so he took a screenshot and he sent it to me and I was like, wow. So I guess I am a good luck charm. So I'm a good luck charm when it comes to WoW, by the way.
Wow. I find it interesting though. I kind of find that interesting. The whole, how do you bring Warcraft into the relationship question? Mm-hmm. Like when is an appropriate time in the dating or whatever you're doing is called, the getting to know you process. When is a good time to bring up, oh, and I play World of Warcraft.
Well, see, usually I would tell people right away because it was something that I played, you know, on a daily basis, but I don't play it on a daily basis now, obviously, so it's not like it's like out of mind, out of sight, you know what I mean, like with the exception of our podcast, so and reading like the news and stuff like that. Like I don't think of it like as a top tier conversation starter, you know what I mean? Like, and so when he said that, I was like, wow, I never told this guy I've played WoW in the past, you know, so it kind of caught me off guard and I was like, this is interesting, you know.
Maybe he stalked you through this show.
Possibly, who knows? He probably did.
All right. Well, that's an interesting story, and good luck with everything, I guess. And
but in regard to your original question, do I feel tempted to go back?
Mm-hmm.
Let's wait till BlizzCon, and maybe I'll be back.
Is there like a magic phrase that they could utter that would get you back, like in a heartbeat?
I just feel like when they announce what they're going to announce, it's going to kind of fuel the fire for mm-hmm. me wanting to go back. Like it'll make me feel like, oh gosh, like I remember that was fun. And it's now I get to, you know, like want things to come in the future. Like, so I want to play the game. I don't know.
Would you go back to WoW for a guy? And I'm not necessarily saying this guy. I don't know what's going on there. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. But, you know, just in theory, if this guy, let's say you like really like and you're really into, is playing the game, would you go back to WoW for a guy?
No, because I would have already gone back. I mean, I've already said that I'm going to come back eventually, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but would you come back a lot faster?
No. When I learned that this person plays WoW, it wasn't like, oh God, I have to re-up my subscription now. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, it'll happen, but not right away.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. All right, Jasmine, I'll go over to you. How was your week in Azeroth? What have you been up to?
My week in Azeroth was good. I've been trying to get Brewfest tokens so I can get the three pieces, because the last achievement I need is disturbing the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to happen this year, which makes me really sad.
Oh.
Just recently, like, I finally got my archaeology up to 525, because that's the other thing that I've been working on. And then just running around the game, doing dailies, trying to make money, trying to earn justice points and all that stuff. But I've just been really trying to finish my archaeology and, like, finish achievements that I'm halfway done with and I might as well do.
Congrats on archaeology, I guess, although I don't know. That, oh man, archaeology, that's rough. That's one that you have to do while you're doing something else, like whether it be listening to music or talking to people or something. I can't just sit there and do archaeology. It's so
Rob does archaeology while he crochets.
I wish I could.
it's not for the faint at heart, but there are some rewards, like as you begin to dig up things and put things together, you can get pets from certain like things that you have to put together. So I've gotten like three non-combat pets from just random pieces that you have to get and put together, which is awesome.
Yeah, there are some great rewards. And actually, I found recently the archaeology can actually be a pretty good moneymaker as well. Especially like if you're willing to part with your Tol'vir artifacts, man, people will snatch those up for hundreds of gold each if you can find them. And keep in mind, I play a dwarf, so I get a little boost in archaeology. But yeah, those Tol'vir artifacts go for several hundred apiece. I guess there's something in them that can be used to make that rare alchemy mount. Salacious Pop was trying to explain it to me, but I forgot. But there's a reason why people want that. It goes towards one of those super rare items. So,
well, yeah, because you want, like, as you pick up, like, as you dig, you get, like, fragments that you put together that so you don't have to dig as much. Like, there are slots that you put those in.
Right.
And then it fills that space for you. So for things like that, then, yeah, it makes it awesome. And it's paid off. Like, I was headed toward Outlands because I finally got digging out there, and I got the achievement Stand in Fire, which you just get killed by Deathwing because, you know, he randomly flies out in places.
Wait, does Deathwing come out to Outland?
No.
I was going to the Dark Portal.
Oh, okay, you were in Blastoland. I get it. Okay.
And I was just like, I ported in and I was just like, why is everything on fire?
Why am I on fire?
Fire. Why am I dead? Oh, and then the achievement popped up because I've been waiting since Cataclysm came out to just get that achievement.
Some people have been waiting a long time to get that achievement and still don't have it.
I never got it.
I got it on my warrior this week. And you want to hear what's really funny? I was questing out in Oldham when I did it because – I'm sorry, not my warrior, my druid. My druid got it on Drendon, actually. I transferred my boomkin over to Drendon last week, and I'm leveling 83 right now, so I'm out in Oldham. And Deathwing showed up while I was out there questing, and I got the achievement Standing in the Fire. Well, when I respawned on my body, all I did was I flew up above the fire, and as all the mobs respawned, they instantly died, and I got experience. So, like – I was just getting 9,000 experience because I'm on rest bar. 5,000 XP, nice. 9,000 XP, like every few seconds for a couple
you
of
totally
minutes.
You totally cheated.
I didn't cheat
That's
on purpose.
That's not cheating. That's a game mechanic. It's
I bet they would take the experience away from you if they found out that happened.
Worst case scenario, you could call it an exploit, but like, what was I doing? I was flying in place. Like, yeah. I only figured it out because I actually, like, when I zoned or when I went to get my body back, I actually walked away from the computer to go grab a soda. And then when I came back, my character was gaining experience. I'm like, well, what's happening? My character's not doing anything. Oh, I'm standing next to the fire that's still burning. Enemies are spawning. I'm getting all this XP. That's how I figured it out. So, just interesting.
Yeah, cheater.
No, whatever.
I'm kidding.
Shush. All right, but anyway, I didn't mean to suddenly...
I just want to call you a cheater. That's all I...
Ugh. All right.
Ugh.
Anything else in your week in Azeroth, Jasmine, that you want to share besides archaeology and some of the other things you've been up to?
Just leveling my Undead Hunter and trying to keep my mining and my engineering together.
Mm-hmm.
because I've tried that on like my other characters, and those are two professions that sometimes I can't keep together, but I've been working really hard to do that. So I've just been doing that and leveling my other characters, because there's only so much you can do on your 85 besides waiting 45 minutes to queue for a dungeon.
You mentioned you do raiding. Where's your raid group at?
We're a little all over the place right now. While I was on break, I actually downed Neff, which I'm happy about and mad about, because I wanted to be there when that happened. Uh-huh. But that was awesome for them and our guild. We've done Throne of the Four Winds, mm-hmm. which is nice. I'm not a particular fan of that one. I've been in the Bastion of Twilight, and some of those fights are just ridiculous mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like
Captain Planet fight is very interesting.
Or the dragons where you don't get hit by the bubble or you'll be in another dimension and then you have to find your way out. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah. So you guys, you're not like on the cutting edge of raiding. You're kind of one of those guilds like my social guild that I play with on Alliance side, where it's just kind of like, you know, we do what we can as a group. And, you know, a lot of times that's tier 11 right now.
Right. And then we did Firelands Trash, and then we tried, I believe the boss is Shanix, the mm-hmm. one with the two dogs.
Yep.
Like we tried to do that. Like we're getting to Firelands, because, you know, we want to get there, but it's the, you know, people's work schedules and things like that.
Sure.
It's like we try and get on, and then we do what we can. So
I hear you loud and clear. I think our guilds are in very similar situations, you know. Sometimes we have to call the raid because people, just two or three people have the IRL stuff going on and there ain't anything you can do about it. So, all right. Well, I'm going to my weekend, Azeroth. What was that? Did you shoot a panda at your house? What was that noise?
No, I was just mimicking you for the last 5 minutes.
All right, shut up. My weekend, Azeroth. Did some raiding this week. Did another Shanix kill, because we just got Shanix like last week for the first time. No, 2 weeks ago. This is before Disneyland. And we tried to work on Rylith a little more. You know, for us, it's just about getting that right. Kind of, we just have to learn it. That's all. We just need more time to pull it and learn it, and we'll figure out the turning and all that stuff soon enough. But I'm having fun. Or what?
Maybe you guys are just bad.
Or we're baddies. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
no, I find that once our guild can get, like, once they really learn it and they understand it, we can just lather, rinse, repeat. Like, what I mean by that is that, you know, it took us a while to get Shanix. It took us a couple nights to get Shanix. But last night, we one-shotted it. Like, we didn't need practice again. Like, once we've got it, we've got it. So, you know, it'll be the same thing for Rylith and any other boss in there. So we're making our way slowly but surely, and that's what works for us. So, otherwise, other stuff I've been up to. I've been playing my druid again, who is now level 83 over on the official Horde House server Horde House Guild on the Drendon server. And because now we actually have a handful of people who are in their 80s over there, we actually did. I watched them do some Dire Brew runs over and over again. Talk about subtle exploits. You know, you could do the Dire Brew over and over again and get guild XP for it because they count as guild runs. So I watched them do 7 Dire Brews in a row. I really wanted to go with them, but I was one level too short. But we did go on some heroics together, and I got some gear. And like, because, you know, even at 85, you can do, not heroics, regulars. You can do the regular, like, Vortex Pinnacle and regular Stone Core. And I had a good time, and I got some gear, so I'm happy. So I'm slowly but surely gearing Gordita, my new druid over there, my new old druid on the Drendon server. Otherwise, not a whole lot since I was gone for 4 or 5 days. I would say just kind of the raiding and trying to do Dire Brew every day. I did get the Kodo, which made me very happy, because on an Alliance character, that's the only way you can really get a Kodo, I think. There might be one other way, but that's the easier one. So I was very happy because I did Dire Brew every stinking day last year and didn't get anything. So to get the Kodo this year gave me gay flappy hands. So I was, So it was exciting. And that's pretty much it for my week in Azeroth. So let's now turn to Extafer with the news.
Okay. Let's turn to me.
I turn to you like a flower leaning.
Oh, my God. So we're just going to not acknowledge that. Three things in the news that stand out, although there's more stuff that, you know, of course, this is all subjective. It's what I think is most important, right? So the Raid Finder is in the news. Basically, they've introduced a lot of more information is in regards to this new mechanic that's coming out in 4.3. The first thing is that it will not share a lock count with the normal heroic raids, and the loot quality will be lesser than both of those, but higher than regular or higher than heroic five-man dungeons. So their goal is to make this mechanic a like an introduction to raids, you know, for people that are interested in raiding the first, I guess, time. The only catch to that is that the Raid Finder will only be available to use for the 4.3 Deathwing raid. So it doesn't make sense to me that they would say that it's supposed to be an introduction to raiding for people that have never raided before, yet we're only going to allow you to do the 4.3 Deathwing raid with it. I don't know. Like, just seems kind of weird to me to do that. So you're going to introduce yourselves to raiding and killing Deathwing, and then to progress, what, you're going to have to go back to the first raids of the expansion? Doesn't make sense.
So I'm anyway, getting the sense you're not a fan of this.
No, I'm fine with it. It's just it doesn't make sense. That part of it is weird to me that they would say that. So I don't know.
I want to talk about Raid Finder a little more because I'm actually really excited about it. I kind of see the looking for group section of Raid Finder a lot as like a training ground for the real deal, which is when you run it with your guild. Like, I think Raid Finder, because kind of like I said before, like, it just takes us a lot of time to learn the fights, and then once we kind of have it, we have it. So I sort of see Raid Finder as a chance for people to learn the fights without burning time on the rare opportunities we can get 10 people all together at once. Like, for me, I'm, like, super excited about it.
Right, because you have, because I think it's only available in 25. Like, you can't even do 10 man for a Raid Finder.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's going to help social guilds out a lot for, you know, where if there's a raid night coming up or you guys end up calling a raid and people just don't want to be on, but you want to be on, you can hop in the Raid Finder and just go and hear people complain about, what do you mean you don't know the fight? But it's going to help you out because since you've done the fight, you can be that person that has to explain who needs to be where. And it's more knowledge on for you and for your guild. So when you guys do, like, do that, you know, okay, we're going to die every time. But, you know, once we get it, it's going to be that rinse and repeat.
This, right. It sort of reminds me, and what I kind of think about and what I think this is going to be like is the last time we were doing PUG 25-man raids, which was Vault of Archivon in Wrath of the Lich King. And, you know, those bosses, they weren't particularly difficult. Like, each one just kind of had that one little twist, and then you kind of knew what to do. And I sort of think PUG raiding in Cataclysm is going to be like that, where there's just one or two little twists, and then you're good. But then when you go into 10-man raiding or regular raiding with your guild, there'll be one more twist. You go into heroic raiding, there'll be one more twist, kind of like there is now. I kind of think that's going to be it. And I think maybe the reason why you don't have it in Firelands, you don't have it in the Tier 11 raids, is that, you know, they can't undo mechanics. Like, it'll probably be too hard for them to make decently puggable raids. It's kind of like, we had to start here and build the mechanics from here. That's kind of what I get the sense anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's probably going to be like that. Like, it actually made me think about Vault of Archivon, which, I mean, kind of served, and maybe the Vault of Archivon equivalent in this expansion?
Tol Barad, but people
there don't. There you go, Tol Barad.
But nobody pugs Tol Barad on 25 anymore because of the fact that 10 and 25 is the same.
Right.
Point. But yeah, right. I mean, it's still a pug rage, surely.
But still, I mean, it kind of reminds me of how, like, those served as, like, kind of like an introduction to raiding, like, in their own sense. It makes me think, why don't they allow you to pug for Tol Barad, at least? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like that would be a great way to introduce like people to raiding, I guess, if you're going to use the raid finder for that way. Otherwise, I think it's a great tool, like for like you'll be able to use it, you know, if you didn't maybe missed out on some loot and you want to just maybe learn the fights more, you know, or whatever. And I don't know, like it's a good tool. I definitely think that it'll be good for the game.
I'll give you that. I think there's no reason Toll Barad should not be included, because they're going to put in another boss in there too with a 4-3. So I don't think there's any reason why that raid shouldn't be a part of the raid finder. I'll give you that.
I agree. More stuff in the news. Basically, is there anything you wanted to add? Is there? Rob?
Not me. I don't know about Jasmine.
Yeah, no. I see Expert's point of like, if it's going to be an introduction to raiding, why are you starting with 4.3? Like, why are you going to do the Deathwing raid, especially with the transmogrification that's coming out for people whose guilds don't want to go back and do the old stuff, but for people that do don't want to get the gear that they want, because you have to have the gear in order to make your current gear look like it. I feel like you should be able to pug those raids, because you might not be the only person who wants to go back and get the gear that you need.
Right.
So I just feel like they should at least open it up at some point to the old ones for that purpose, but maybe not.
I think it would be nice if they would open it up to like the Wrath of the Lich King raids and even maybe Burning Crusade ones for people that like to achievement farm too, you know, although I guess they say that you won't be able to get achievements in the raid finder, but I don't know. I kind of feel like, yeah, I think transmog's a good point. Like, how else am I going to get that gear? It's like getting a Sunwell raid to get that gear will be impossible. Like, if my guild doesn't want to do it, I ain't getting it, you know? So we'll see. Oh, I did want to say this, though. One other thing. I'm sorry. Since, you know, we do have a lore nerd on the show tonight. One thing I have kind of heard about with the whole raid finder and one perspective is that, you know, there is a lot of lore to be found in the last raid. Looking at the last expansion, you know, the whole death of the Lich King was a pretty major lore thing. You know, it came with a cutscene. It was a pretty big deal. And the problem was, if you weren't a pretty decent raider, you never got a chance to see that. And so if you're just somebody who's into lore and maybe casually into PvE and all that, you know, you never got to see it. Now, Blizzard made some concessions when they put that little thing in Dalaran where you could, like, it was like the fountain where you could just click on it and you would see that cutscene. And then certainly there's YouTube and all that as well. But I think this might also be a way for those that just don't want a raid to still have a chance to partake in the story. Do you think that that's could be something, Jasmine?
That could definitely be something, but like I actually didn't get to kill Arthas, but when they did the first kill on the server, that fountain that's in Dalaran, like if you click on it, it actually shows you what happens after you kill the Lich King. So like for people that don't casually raid, like don't get to raid but are still into the lore, like they can still, Blizzard has certain ways of getting you updated on what's going on besides other than, you know, going onto YouTube and trying to find it. They try and put that in game, but I do see, like, if you want to know what's going on and you either aren't in a guild, like you're just a solo player that just gets on and does your own thing,
right?
I think the raid finder will definitely help you do that.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to try it out.
Good, all things good. Sorry, I may or may not be distracted at the moment.
What are you doing? No, I want to know.
Nothing.
Are you talking?
You know
on,
what?
Are you talking on Facebook?
No, it might involve my right hand and a certain appendage.
I hope to hell you're talking about a pencil or something.
Why wouldn't I be talking about a pencil? Anything you know, Rob?
A pen?
Weird. No. The next thing on the list is Void Storage. Basically they have updated how they're going to be utilizing Void Storage. Previously it was going to be unlockable for 1,000 gold and withdrawals would be 100 gold each, which is freaking ridiculous. And why would anybody ever use it? You know, I'm still not convinced that I would ever use it anyway. However, they've changed that model to reflect that you would only need 100 gold now to unlock Void Storage, and deposits will cost 25 gold each, and withdrawals are going to be free. I still think that it should all be free. Should just be another bank, whatever. But whatever. That's just the way it is.
Well, it's kind of like we've heard in emails and tweets on the show before, the game needs more gold sinks because there's people around with shit tons of gold right now. And, you know, Void Storage is going to make a great Barbie closet. For the people that get really into transmogging, Void Storage will be a great place to put the clothes. And I got to say, that's one big reason I'm looking forward to it, because I can't wait to make my character Barbie. And I'm already looking at, like, what dress do I want her to raid in? You know, it's... I'm kind of
sad.
They
should at least let you put... you know, armor in the Void Storage and let you utilize it even without taking it out. That's what I would think that it would be great for, but apparently you still have to, whatever you're going to transmogrify, you still have to have that on you or in your regular bank.
I can't, like, I was under the assumption I could transmog the item, then deposit and get rid of the thing in the Void Storage and it would be fine.
I don't know. Maybe we should get some clarification.
Maybe
on
I need
this.
To go play on the PTR. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jasmine, maybe. Are you excited about transmogging?
I'm excited about transmogging. I just wanted Void Storage so I can take all my tabards out of my bank. That's the only reason I'm going to use them.
Oh, God. Like, that's actually a great point. Get rid of those
I just deleted
tabards.
All of mine.
What?
Except for the one. What? I don't need the tabards. There's only one that was. There's only a few that are like. Epic tabards that I wouldn't have thrown away, you know. I have the one that I have one of the ones that you got from the card game, and so I won't ever throw that away. So, but still,
yeah, I can't throw my tabards away. Like, I worked too hard to get them for that achievement, so I just need a place to put them that's not in my bank.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't throw those things away. I'm also a WoW hoarder. Like, if you looked at my bank, you would be, like, looking to see if there's, like, dead animals in there.
Well, it's not just that, because if transmogrification is going to work to where you have to have the item either on you or have access readily to it, I'm not going to want to have to pay 25 gold to put some shoulders somewhere to then have to go back and get it. I'd rather just go to the bank and then grab it out, put it in my bag, and have it on me. I'd rather put all of that other stuff that I have in my bank that I don't need.
Okay.
Readily.
Well, I think I'm with you on the tabards, at least, and maybe some of the holiday clothes too that I can never seem to part with. Since we won't be able to transmog to the holiday clothes, I won't be able to be Santa Claus.
Boo.
Boo. So, anyways, that's for Void Storage. One other thing. Is that Valor Points will no longer be used for tier gear. There's not going to be any tier gear that you exchange Valor for. Their idea being that you'll be using your Valor Points for, like, as a consolation for loot that you didn't get, you know, while in the raid. For instance, like maybe a ring or trinket or item like an offhanded... offhand weapon, you know, things like that, gun, whatever. You know, gear that might match the stats of the tier gear, but not the tier gear itself. So that's what their idea is behind that.
I gotta admit, I'm a little disappointed that the tier gear won't be available through Valor. Like, I kind of get what they're doing, but I liked what they have right now, where you can get the 2-piece bonus without raiding, but you can't get the 4-piece bonus without raiding.
Like, yeah, I like that as well.
Yeah, I'm a little sad that, you know, now I'm going to have to raid. I mean, I like raiding anyway. Maybe the concession is if tier gear will drop in the looking for raid, then there's at least a little bit of a concession, because then, you know, I can do those super easy raids and still get, even if it's nerfed tiered gear, it's still decent, you know, gear to get my bonus.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yep. But that's all for the news.
All right. That's it for the news. So we'll move on to the topic of the week. Every week we invite your responses to the topic of the week via our email, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com, or on Twitter at twitter.com/hordehouse. So this week's topic of the week is... If you had an NPC of you immortalized in WoW, what would your character be? Since I know this is a really weird question, I'm going to give you an example. For example, like Paris Hilton is in WoW, right? And she sells, except she's Paris Pilton. Are you living in a fallout shelter, Jasmine? I keep thinking I'm hearing like gunshots and like.
phone is making noise.
I hear the hatch opening in the background there. All right. Anyway, Paris Hilton is Harris Pilton, and she sells bags in why did I write Stormwind on the show notes? She doesn't sell them in Stormwind. I meant to say Silvermoon, but you know what I mean.
She sells them in.
Outland.
Shit, that's right. Wow. They moved her. I forgot they moved. She used to be in Silvermoon.
She never moved. She was always in Outland.
I thought she was in Silvermoon. Am I crazy?
No.
She was never in Silvermoon.
Well, clearly,
never in Silvermoon.
Clearly, I'm not following the lore and the very important character of Harris Pilton.
So the only reason I know is because I had enough gold and I had nothing else to do with it, so I went and bought that bag.
Did you go,
needed more space.
Did you get a portable hole? I love Blizzard and their little tongue-in-cheek jokes. All right. So Exifer, I'll start with
you. Portable hole.
I'll say Exifer. I'm going to start with you. Who would your NPC be, and what would they do?
My NPC would be Exifer, and he would be standing in the middle of the Barrens and laugh at random people as they run by.
So it would just be just a guy, a dude standing there?
Some dude, you know. I don't know what race. Maybe a... What would Exifer be in the game? Probably... I'll say a dwarf. Just because. And he would just be like... as people like walk by. It'd be fun.
All right.
Because I'm good with the funness.
You're good with the fun.
Yeah.
All right. Jasmine, how about you? If you had an NPC of you immortalized in WoW, what would your character be?
I don't know. I'd probably just be undead and hang out in the Undercity. I don't know. It's... Because I like the Undercity. It's, I think, one of the lesser populated... horde towns now that everyone and their mom is an org.
Uh-huh.
So I like going to the other places where nobody likes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be like, it's easier to load in when you don't have a million people in the city.
I kind of did that this week too. Actually, it sounds like somebody's running a race at your house now. Did you hear that? Where it was ready, go!
I heard it again.
All right. So you would be in one of those little rooms in the very circular Undercity. And I got to say, I agree with you, is that some of the cities are really underrated now because of the fact that everybody has to go to Stormwind or Org. Like, I spent some time in Ironforge this week just because, I don't know, I kind of missed it. Like, and it's, you can do everything there except use the portals. So it was kind of nice to run to the auction house there and run around and do things there. That's, you know, just a different change of pace. No.
Yeah.
All right. So for me, if I had an NPC of myself immortalized in WoW, part of me thinks I would have to be a blood elf, but like, I don't know. I kind of play Alliance mostly. Like, I play both. I consider myself bi-factional. So I think I would have to be a gnome, actually. And my gnome would live in the back of Ironforge. And my gnome would never shut up. My gnome would always be talking. My gnome would consistently be talking about like useless things you don't want to hear about. And his thing is that he sells an item that instantly warps you to Karazhan. That would be what my character would do. He would just, and he'd talk about how great Karazhan is and say, why don't you go there now? I've invented a great new contraption that takes you to Karazhan, because that's what gnomes do. They invent things.
My if you click on my character, he'll be like, I'll put my fist in your bum hole. That's what he'll say. And then you'll get an option like put fist in bum hole, like okay, like you'll hit okay, and then you'll be transported to Karazhan, right?
Hey, you thief.
What? It's a brand new idea.
That's what I just said I'm going to do, except without the fisting part.
Yeah, you need to get fisted to go to Karazhan.
No, you don't. All right. You don't have a
attunement
quest anymore.
It's decided.
There would be an attunement quest to talk to your character, and it would involve fisting, and that's sad.
No.
All right. Let's get to the emails and tweets. Every week on the show, we invite your emails at hordehousepodcast@gmail.com or your tweets at twitter.com/hordehouse. And I hate to say it, guys, but this week our email bag is empty. It's dry. It's a desert. There is nothing in the email bag, which is funny because last week we had all those emails. And what happened? Miklatov complained all night, and so did you, about the emails. And our listeners rewarded us this week with no emails.
Thank you.
Stop.
What?
I wish
we had so many. We had
topic
so,
of the week.
So many.
And then Miklatov was rude to all of them. So I blame Miklatov for our lack of email bag this week.
Yeah, let's all blame him.
Ah, good idea. I'm on board. Luckily, Twitter has a little bit more going on there. And I will say this, speaking of which, Bochy Kawa did send us a tweet, and he's the one who wrote the email last week that was Huggles Horde House, right? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he just wrote a tweet that put @Horde House, yay, I love to hear people badmouth me. So I don't know if that was before or after he actually listened to the show, but there you go. He was happy that there was smack talking going on. So
yay.
There you go.
Bump chicka wow wow.
Going to Peaker Uno, he did some live blogging going on. And one of the tweets that he sent us that I thought was interesting is he said, for the topic of the week, I'd like a live orchestral concert with WoW's music. Fuck all this rock crap. Remember, our topic of the week last week is, what band do you want to see play at BlizzCon? And Peaker Uno would like to keep it classy.
Well, they used to do video games live at the end. And that's what I loved. Actually, I would prefer video games live to any of the musical acts that they've had in recent years. They used to do that, and the 2 years that they had it, like, it was just amazing. And they tailored their show to Blizzard. So they didn't, you know, in other words, they didn't play like random video game music. They did all World of Warcraft. So it was great. I just remember it was like such a phenomenal show, you know, and yet they're just catering to, you know, what they think, you know, the hip kids want these days, which is, I guess, Foo Fighters.
You think the kids need more culture? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I agree with Peaker Uno.
Jasmine, what do you think? Would you prefer a rock concert, or would you want an orchestra?
No, I would prefer the video games live, because I actually went to BlizzCon, and I think it was when Ozzy Osbourne was going to be the musical guest, and left before that, because
I
wasn't going to stay.
Was there too, and I stayed, and I left while he was playing, because I was like, okay, because my whole thing was like, I just want to see him in person, so I could like say to my brother, who grew up like loving this kind of music, I can say, hey, I saw your favorite person and you didn't get to see him.
And then I left because I was having a migraine.
Yeah. It's kind of like how we went to the Journey/Def Leppard concert, and we left during Def Leppard, and that's like my brother's like favorite band ever. And so like when I saw him next, I'm like, so I saw Def Leppard, and we left during like during Hysteria or something like that. Like
the sad thing about that story is it is totally true. It is totally true.
Yeah, and so is the Ozzy Osbourne. So I left to what I did was like, okay, so this is the best time ever to play Cataclysm. Because everybody else is like watching this guy like act like a fool. So I went over and I kind of glanced at the monitors from time to time, but like I was like, I got to play a long time. Like, but granted, it was like really limited what you could play, you know, but still, it was fun.
They were kicking you off because there was a line.
Yeah. So.
All right. Awesome. Let's see. And Peaker Uno also added to his live blog that actually during the Cataclysm launch in London, we had live tavern music, because I was joking. I think Shane had said Flogging Molly is his answer. And I was joking, what would they play, like the Irish tavern music? And I guess they actually did that at the Cataclysm launch in London. So pretty cool. Razorbug had tweeted us saying, as far as Nando's goes, because remember, Pigaruno keeps trying to make Nando's happen, like the overseas equivalent of Chipotle, I guess, even though I don't think they're Mexican food. But Razorbug says, you're not missing much with Nando's. I think I prefer Chipotle. Sorry, Pigaruno. It's always back to food. And then Pigaruno says, don't listen to him.
Aww.
So there you go. Virtual Mirrors, who had tweeted us last week, tweeted us again this week saying, thanks for asking my question last week, but seriously, Extifer be crazy.
What did I say?
I agree. I don't remember. You are crazy, but in a good way.
You know what? Crazy can be a good thing.
We're all a little crazy.
Sometimes. I say own up to your craziness. Life is too short.
All right, and our last tweet of the week comes from the one, the only, Flacco Jones, and he is also answering the topic of the week, and funny enough, it's right in line with what we were just talking about. Topic of the week, not a band, but Video Games Live is the best and most appropriate musical act to play BlizzCon. Bring them back. Did they do the DirecTV thing when Video Games Live was there? They didn't do that those years, huh? I wonder if that's an issue, because I know, I don't think... Oh, no, Video Games Live was on PBS. I forgot about that. They did the PBS show. So I was wondering, like, maybe they don't have the rights to do the TV thing with the music. But, yeah, they were on PBS some time ago. And I caught Video Games Live once when they were up here in Oakland, which was really cool because, you know, Oakland's right in the Bay Area, which is right next door to Silicon Valley. So a lot of those people were in the house. And, you know, it was a very, very high-energy show. What was awesome about the show that I saw for Video Games Live, it was the first time they played Scar of Time from Chrono Cross, which... If you know that song, is like epic.
I don't know, and I don't care. But I did see them in the Bay Area once, and I don't know if it was the same. No, it wasn't the same show you went to.
No, I think there was one in San Francisco you went to or something.
Yeah, it was some show that I went to, and it was the first time that I ever saw them, and I loved it. I thought it was great. Although I don't really like that little guy that introduced them.
Tommy Tallarico?
Yeah, he's stupid.
Oh, he's very passionate about what he did. We had him on OLR like a couple years ago talking about Video Games Live. He talked for like 45 minutes. He's very into it, very proud of it.
Gotcha. He was like a little guy that I wish I could just kick. Stop. But what?
You know who he's related to?
You there.
Do you know who he's related to? He's part of this family. He's part of the Steven Tyler and Liv Tyler. He's related to them.
Now I want to kick him even more.
Oh, stop. Stop.
I want to kick him.
I want to kick you.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess whatever. I did like the show a lot. And when they played at BlizzCon, I mean, I'd hope that they'd be able to play on the you know, feed, because they would have the rights to every song. It's all Blizzard, so...
Oh, when they did Video Games Live, it was like exclusively like Diablo, WoW.
Yeah, it was all WoW music, all Blizzard music. So
very cool. All right, well, that does it for tweets and that does it for emails, which means it's the end of our show, kids.
What?
I know. That's what happens when no one emails us. We run through things really fast, but we had a very informative show tonight. Not just about, you know, the news in 4-3, but about the books. So, Jasmine, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and talking to us about books. Do you have anything that you want to plug? Do you have a website or a guild or something you want to plug?
My guild, Esoteric. You guys can follow me on Twitter at PearlsQ if you want.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome.
All right.
Why does my mind always go to dirtiness when you say, do you have anything you want to plug?
Because you instantly think about your butt? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think about my butt, per se.
All right. Moving on. My final thought tonight is I'm going to have a very, very, very busy weekend. Yay. Extifer, what's your final thought for us tonight?
Mine is, yo tengo mucho patatas.
What is a putata?
Patatas are potatoes.
Oh, I didn't
Anyways,
know.
I'm stealing that from Conan O'Brien.
I just learned Spanish today. That's great.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, and do you have anything you want to plug, Extifer?
My butt.
No, not my butt, per se. Someone else's butt.
All right. Gross. All right, we're done. We're out of here. That's a show. Thanks again, Jasmine. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks, everybody, for downloading Horde House. And we will be back next week to do it all again. And next week is the crazy lead-up to BlizzCon. And I think the question to ask next week is, will anything leak out by the time
probably
show happens? So we'll see. So that does it. Have a wonderful night, everybody. We'll see you next time on Horde House. Good night.
Good night. Adios.